Praise God. Well, as I know this is healing class, is it not? This is healing class. Thank God for healing in our bodies. But I wanted to read today's entry from this is Health Food Devotions by the Kenneth Hagin Ministry. But this is 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And this is entitled Transfigured Bodies and Transformed Minds. God does something with your spirit. You do something with your body and mind. God is not going to do anything with your body. He can't. God is not going to do anything with your mind. He can't. You have to do it. Now, he will help you do something with your body and mind, but he won't just do it on his own. See, you know, this is why it's important. Yes, God is sovereign, but there are some things that if you just go to the book of Ephesians, it says, when we were yet dead in sin, he died for us. So there's some things he just did sovereignly. We weren't even thinking about them, and he did some things. But then he also said, you have to renew your mind. You have to keep your body under. You have to present it before me as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So there's some things that he'll help us to work through some things in our life, but he's just not going to go do it by himself unless we ask him. There's a whole world of people that have rejected Christ, but yet he's paid for their freedom. And some will never experience it and walk in it because they've not allowed him into their life. He's not allowed them to help them. It's like, I don't want to know you. I said, okay, fine. See? But he'll still keep reaching out to folks. So anyways, that's this point here. Let me continue. It said, he does something with your spirit. What does he do? He recreates it. He makes it a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. But you're to do something with your body and your mind. Remember Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye, or you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. You present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And then you renew your mind, Romans 12:2. You get your mind renewed with the word of God. God wants transfigured bodies and transformed minds. Many Christians let their bodies dominate them. That's the reason they're sick. Now, just don't get stuck on that. The way that's written, he's saying, he didn't say all Christians, he said some let their bodies dominate, and so that's why some are sick, because some let sickness stay there. They let it reign. They let it rule in their body where it's already been paid for, you see. So he said, many Christians let their bodies dominate them. That's the reason they're sick. Disease and sickness can come in when we aren't doing what we're supposed to do. Many Christians don't take the time to renew their minds with the Word of God. They are still thinking like the world thinks. You see, your mind is trained to think negatively. From the time you were a child, your mind is trained that way. It takes effort on your part to retrain it by renewing it with the Word of God. So the more you feed upon the Word of God, the more understanding, the more light. What is Psalm 119:130? What does it say? The entrance of His Word bringeth light, and it bringeth what? Understanding. That word bringeth, it means, in some translations, it means unfolding or revelation of God's word. So the more we meditate upon God's word, the more understanding, the more light, the more revelation we see, And that's not, you know, I think sometimes, and I'm sure you could attest to this, faith is not knowledge. Faith is not knowledge. Faith is what? Faith, let's look at what the Bible says. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. My faith is the evidence of something not seen. So just having knowledge of the scripture is not faith. Faith comes by meditating in the word, but my conviction, my confidence comes by meditating in the word of God. And it comes from feeding and listening to the word of God. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So this increase of faith comes by us watering it. Keep feeding on the word of God. You know, sometimes we get so, what's the word? We get so spiritually minded, we just unhook from some things. People in this world, you know, I mean, if you just look at politicians today, and I've seen them talk about this, so sometimes when they have these hearings, they'll say, you know, the reason we have the things going on is because we've got all of these games and negative things that they do what? Feed on all day long. So they think negative. They think they act out what they're seeing, these violent games. Well, hello, if we feed upon this, what does Joshua 1:8 say? Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate therein day and night, and observe to do that you may do what? Make your way prosperous and successful, and you'll have good success. So the same principle applies. If you meditate on something negative, what does Proverbs 18 say? It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that do what? Love it. Yeah, they'll eat the fruit thereof, they that love it. So in other words, if you keep eating God's word, if you keep meditating on it, it'll set you free from the way the world thinks. They don't believe, I mean, I'm thank God more are, but they don't believe that Jesus is Lord. They don't believe that God came to the earth in Christ and died for my sins and sicknesses. What does the scripture say? The scripture says the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that are lost, but it's the power of God to us who believe. So for us who believe, it sets me free. I don't have to walk poor and lacking in life. Jesus paid for me to be blessed. He paid for me to be free. Not only in my spirit, but my mind, so I don't have to be what? In bondage. See, but that the world will chase after things, and if you try to preach that, you know, there's a better way, they'll just you know, just give you the I'm not interested and whatever else. So let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. And I know, you know, we've spent some time on here. I spent some time for 3 or 4 or 5 lessons really looking at this more from, not from physical sickness, although, you know, when we talk about healing, a class on healing, a lot of times, you know, people will focus on it from the standpoint of physical sickness and disease. But then if you look up, like what I was saying, just looking up statistics on oppression and depression and obsessions and looking at all of the things, you know, people come back from wartime and they have post-traumatic stress syndromes and all of these stresses of life, right? Jesus paid for that. I don't have to walk in oppression and depression and all of these things. I've been set free. It says the chastisement of his peace was upon, my peace was upon him, right? So we can be free. So the point is that a lot of times when we look at this, don't exclude the mental side of being free. See, there's a physical side, but then there's a soulical side where we can be free, where we don't have to walk oppressed and depressed and stressed. See, we don't have to. So Isaiah 53, starting in verse 3, it said, "He is despised," I'm reading from the King James, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs." See that? Sometimes we just read over that. Whose griefs was it? Our griefs, not his. "Our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And what? And the Lord hath laid on him," who's he talking about? Christ, "the iniquity of us all." Not one person excluded. Say all. That means me. That means me. "He laid on him my iniquity. He laid on him my diseases. He laid on him all of the in other words, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means everything I'll ever experience, he's already bore that for me. I don't have to. See? That and that boils down to a choice that I can either choose to allow it or do what? Confront it and say, "Oh no, you can't stay here. This has been paid for. This has been paid for." You know, if you paid a bill and you got another bill in the mail, you wouldn't say, "Oh, well, we'll just pay it again. I'd pray for you." I'd say, "What's wrong with you?" But he paid for that. So why should I pay for that that's been paid for, right? Just in the natural, you wouldn't pay for something twice unless you just wanted to. You got nothing better to do with your money. So the question is, what did he do with our diseases? See, these are simple questions. What did he do with my diseases, right? Well, look at verse 4. He did what? He bore them. He bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. That's what he did with them. He bore them and he carried them. And that's where we spent time on, that word griefs. Is sickness. If you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, you can do that online. And also the word sorrows means pain physically, or it also means pain mentally. It means anxiety, stress, and sorrows. So he carried them. He bore the load, as you could say. So the question then you have to ask is, what does that mean to me? You know, it's nice to read these scriptures and we say, okay, but let's personalize it. What does that mean for me? It means in verse 5. Look at verse 5. He was wounded what? For our transgressions. He was what? He was bruised for our iniquities. That's what it means for me. Right? He did what? He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, or you could say my peace, was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Because when he says we, that means me. So I'm free, right? So that means that all of the pains and sickness and disease was laid upon Jesus. And he actually bore them. You know, there's... So that's what we're saying. He actually bore my sicknesses, my pains, my diseases. He bore them, and it's been paid for. So he was not released from the grip of hell. It says he went to hell for me. He was not released. He was not incarcerated or put in hell because he did something wrong. He took my sin, my iniquity, my sicknesses, and he was punished because of my wrongdoing, my sin. And he was not released until it was paid for, until, as far as God was concerned, justice has been satisfied. And then he released Jesus. So that's why we can, without a doubt, without even hesitation, we can go to God and say, thank you for paying for me. I don't have to ask him to heal me. I don't have to beg him to heal me. It's already been paid. You wouldn't beg somebody, please don't bill me another charge, you know. It's already been paid for. You can ignore the bill. You understand what I mean by that? You can ignore it because if somebody's trying to bill you for something that's already been paid for, you go, throw it in the garbage. How many of you, I've gotten those. I'm sorry, it has been paid for. So for us, Jesus paid the price. This is what we're saying. What does that mean to me? He paid the price for me. So there should be no doubt in our minds that it's been paid for. Scripture bears that out. So we don't have to beg God to please heal my body, as some do. I'm not saying we do, but some say, oh God, please heal me. Please do this. And he's waiting for us to do what? It says, and the truth will do what? Set you free. Once you're free, once you know that you're free, you don't ask for somebody to free you. You know you're free. You see, you're free from that, I would call it mental bondage, because not that physical sickness is mental, but I can tell you one thing, that once you know you're free, you will not continue to allow that to stay in your body. You'll say, no. You have to leave. You know, I'm not a medical person, but anybody who knows that, I've read stories. They said most people that will have an operation or some kind of major surgery, they say that for them, now I'm not saying in all cases, but in a lot of cases, doctors will say their attitude about it is key. Because if they come out of it and say, well, I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I may not make it. You know what? They said the doctors say their attitude is key in the success of the recovery and the success of how they walk out of that. Amen. Well, that is mental. That's your attitude. So our attitude about what's been paid for is key. Because my attitude, what's the scripture say? As a man thinketh, so is he. So we need to be absolutely convinced from the word of God that my sickness and disease has been paid for. My mental pains have been paid for. Now, just like Brother Hagin had said when he was alive, it doesn't mean that these things won't try to come. It's no different. You have people that try to break in people's homes. What do? You either call the police or you got a gun and you say, invite them out. If you're licensed to do that, you know, I know many that are. And so you just say, well, you know, you can back out the way you came in. So 2 Corinthians 5:21. And I'm just going to share, you know, you don't need to turn there because we know it, but it says, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be what? Sin for us. Who knew no sin, that what? We might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he knew no sin. He took my iniquities. Well, if he took my iniquities, and it also we can see here, he bore my what? My sicknesses and diseases. So if he knew no sin, but he took mine, then he took my sicknesses. So that what? God made him sick with our diseases and pains that we might be what? Perfectly well. So we can walk well. Amen. So this, you know, you could say that what does the scripture say? The salvation is a gift. We didn't earn it. And so my healing is a gift. If it's a gift, I've got to accept it. I've got to say thank you. I receive it. I receive that gift. It's already been purchased, right? Let me read some other in verse 4 of Isaiah 53. Listen to these other translations. The Bible, the basic translation, or Bible in basic English, says, but it was our pain he took, and our diseases were put on him, while to us he seemed as one diseased on whom God's punishment had come. This is the Passion Translation. It said, yet he was the one who carried our sicknesses and endured the torment of our sufferings. We viewed him as one who was being punished for something he himself had done, as one who was struck down by God and brought low. This is a Good News Translation. But he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that should have been that we should have borne. All the while we thought that his suffering was punishment sent by God. And the New Living, it said, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. No, they were for our sins. Amen. So he bore, the Amplified says, surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. So he bore it, and it's already been settled. John 8:31 said, and of course, verse 32, and Jesus said, and you shall what? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that word know, actually, if you look it up in a Greek concordance, it just means to have intimate knowledge of. It means to be acquainted with. So it's not just a cursory, you know, I read it, but it's having an intimate knowledge of the scriptures. What does that mean? That means you're acting upon it. You're meditating upon it. You're acting upon it. You have an intimate knowledge of the scripture. That's what that word is. When it says, and you shall know the truth, that doesn't mean I know this scripture, I can quote it. It's a little more than that. Yeah, you may know it and quote it, but it's also acting upon it. What does James say? Faith without a corresponding action, without acting upon the word, is dead. It won't produce. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. I just was looking up, you know, when we talk about by his stripes we're free, I just decided to look up a few scriptures on being made free. But Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 is one particular scripture. There's a few others. But it says what? Stand fast. This is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the what? The liberty. We've been set free. So this is saying here, this doesn't say something that God's going to do. He's already done it. He's saying you have to stand fast in the liberty wherewith what? Christ has made us free. What did he make us free from? Sin and sickness. So he set us free, and this says here, we're to stand fast in it. Not that means, what does that mean? I need to take some action here. Something comes, and I go, no. So we're to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and do what? Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, so sin would be bondage, getting caught up in things that we shouldn't. Sickness and mental oppression is bondage. And this says here that we're to do what? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith we've been set free. Well, think about it. Sickness is not liberty, is it? Mental oppression is not liberty. Sin is not liberty. That's bondage. And so when he says here, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, he's looking at sin as bondage, sickness as bondage, and so is mental oppression. What is Acts 10:38? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about healing all who were what? Oppressed. That's bondage. And we've been set free. We've been liberated from the devil. We've been liberated from him. And so we're to stand fast in that liberty. Romans 8 and verse 2. Romans 8, 2. These are familiar scriptures, but good to meditate upon in the light of what we're teaching. It says here, for the law of the what? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Made me free. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from what? From the law of sin and death. And back up to chapter 6 of Romans. Chapter 6. And look at verse 14. So if we've been set free and we're not to be in bondage to sin and sickness again, it's what it said in Galatians, be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. What is verse 14? It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not what? Under the law, but under grace. So I've been set free and I access this grace by what? Faith. And so I can walk in this freedom that has been purchased. So he set us free from what? From sin, from sickness. And it has no dominion over me. Now, I could let it, but it's been stripped of its power to have dominion over me. Sickness and disease has been stripped of its power. Satan has been stripped of its power. So it cannot just lord itself over me. I have to, in order for it to come into my life, I had to allow something in. I had to allow it in. And so that's why it's important, you know, when we were sharing that in these days that we live in, I think we were sharing that here. Talking about our hearts can be overcharged and so, or weighed down, and that can affect, if we're weighed down with the cares of life, then our spiritual sensitivity to his word and to God can be affected. And that's why it's so important. We can get caught up with life and things, and then we can get weighed down. And we think that God doesn't care. He's not, you know, he's not helping me in this situation. But yet, I'm full of cares and I'm not listening properly. I'm not hearing him. See? So that's why it's important here to just meditate on the Word of God. Feed upon it. Talk it. Speak it. Believe in your heart what he said and do what? If I believe something in my heart, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to say it. So he set us free from disease, and that means sickness and disease. And it cannot, as we said, it cannot just exercise lordship over you. It does not have that right anymore. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over my body. What is that scripture? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's turn over there for a moment. See, it's good to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, what our identity is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And of course, I'm just going to extract here, looking at verse 15. Excuse me. It says, know ye not that your what? Your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto who? The Lord. The Lord is one spirit. Excuse me. Flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. So we've been purchased. Not only did he bear my sins and my iniquities and my diseases, but he purchased me. And so this goes on, it says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in what? Your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So see now, anytime you think that, well, I don't know about this sickness and disease, you know, your body is now God's. He owns that. And the devil does not have the right or the lordship anymore to lord. He lost his hold upon you. You are now owned by God. You're God's, what it says, he's the husbandman. He's the one that owns me now. He's the Lord over me. And so now he owns this body. And we're to do what? Glorify him with this body and our spirit. Well, now sickness and disease, how does that glorify God? It doesn't. Now, if perchance there is something going on in your body, then you have a right. That's what it says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith what? Christ has set us free. Amen. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What does that mean? That means for me, I'm to do something. I'm to stand up, believe that, and then exercise just like a police officer. Police officer gets a badge, he takes an oath, he gets a badge, he may get a gun. And so what do they do? They're there to do what? Enforce the laws of that land. They don't sit there and go, I don't know what I'm going to do. You'd say, well, get off the street. Right. He doesn't let the criminals overrun. They're there to do what? Enforce and maintain order so that there's peace and harmony. Well, if Jesus paid for my peace, he paid for my freedom, he's not here, we're the body. What does it say? Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. When we talk about enforcing something, Ephesians chapter 1, and what does it say here? Let's look at verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now verse 20, which he doth, what? He wrought in who? In Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Look at verse 21. How far? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and what?
Every name.
Every name that is named. What? Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And what does it say in verse 22? And hath put all things under his feet. That sounds like sickness and disease. That sounds like what he said. All principalities, all powers, all might, all dominion, they're under his feet. And we're in his body. So they're under our feet. That means he has no right, he has no legal right now to me. He has no access to me anymore. Satan does not have any legal right to put sickness and disease on me. He has no right to. Now, he may try, but it's no different than somebody trying to deliver a package. You say, nope, that don't have my name on it. Send it back. Absolutely. Doesn't mean that pain doesn't come. Doesn't mean that stress doesn't come. But now I have a legal right to stand up. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. So when it comes, he's trying to... What is he doing? He's trying to test to see whether or not you know who you are in Christ. Right? He's testing to see. Do you know? Maybe you don't know, which is where some people are. But that's why we spend time to meditate in the Word of God. So we say, well, wait a minute. He set me free. This says here, and hath put all things, what? Under his feet. Talking about Jesus now. And gave him to be the head over what? All things to who? To the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So that means when things come, that I'm to do what? Stand fast. I'm to take my rightful place where? In Christ, and to confront it and say, no, you're not here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you have to leave. See, and so often we give up if something doesn't change in a minute or two. We need to do what? What does that say? Stand fast in the liberty. Well, you know, sometimes we read over that. Standing fast, there must have been a reason that the Spirit of God had Paul pen it that way. Because when we say stand fast, that means there may be some resistance to moving. That means you've got to stand fast in what? The liberty wherewith you've been set free. That means you need to enforce some things. That's what we were talking about. A police officer is there, or military personnel are there to enforce what's already been passed as laws in this land. Now, if you don't like the laws, you can change it. Thank God we can do those things. But those that are being enforced, that's what they're there for. So Jesus, his word is forever settled in heaven. We are to do what? Enforce that's what that which has been paid for. We're to enforce his word. That's what we're doing. And he's given us what? Charge to do that. So this body is God's house. It's his temple. And we're just the overseer of it. We're just managing it. We live in it. Right? It's like you may have a house, you say, I own this house. Well, no, in God's perspective, you don't own this house. You're just living in there. Right? You're just living in the house. He owns the house. And we're to do what? Maintain the house. Maintain it. That's why it's good so that when the Holy Ghost leads us and directs us, each one of us personally, he'll guide us and lead us on how to maintain this house. And everybody's different. He may tell you, get more rest. He may tell you, meditate in the word more. You know, I hear so many stories. I remember this was a few years ago when we were at Winter Bible Seminar at Rhema. And this particular gentleman, he's the director over, at the time, he was the director over their Quebec training center. And then he turned that over to another gentleman, and now he's doing most of his travel in and out of French-speaking countries, Haiti. They have a school. Rhema started a school down in near Port-au-Prince. They started a school in Carrefour. And so he goes down there a lot, and then he was over in the Congo, and he's over in some of these other French-speaking countries in Africa. And he was sharing a few years ago, he was down in Haiti, and he ate some fish. And he said, man, he said, I got sick. Oh, boy, he said, I got really sick. And I went to the doctor. And, of course, he's fluent in French. And the doctor just basically told him, nothing I can do. Too bad. You know, that kind of thing. And so he said he was really in bad shape. And whatever he got from the fish. And so he said, I just got the word out, and I doubled and tripled up on feeding on the word. And it left. It left. See, something that the doctor and medicine can't do, God can do. See? Now, it doesn't mean if the doctor maybe prescribed something, but this doctor said, can't do anything. You know, I remember Mrs. Hagen in that thing might have been at that same meeting, said she fell on her tailbone, and she said the pain was so bad that the doctors gave her the strongest pain medicine that they could give her. And she said it did nothing. So she said, forget it. I just won't even take the pain medicine. And so Pastor Hagen said to her, just start saying this every day. Say that the healing power of God is at work in my body, affecting a healing and a cure. And she said, if I said that 100 times a day, I said it 1,000 times a day. Through the pain, in the face of the pain. She kept saying it. She'd say, I'd say it hundreds and hundreds of times every day. And she said, the pain, after about 3 months, not a week, not an hour, not 2 weeks, but 3 months, she said the pain began to subside. And then it left. See, so what the doctors couldn't do, and they basically told her, they said, you're going to have to live with it. She said, I'm not living with something that Jesus paid for. I'm not living with something that Jesus paid for. Then I'm going to embrace and stand fast. I'm going to take the word and believe in my heart that he paid for this. I'm going to speak it. And I'm going to keep confessing it and keep saying it till it changes. Now, you know, she's the first one. I mean, she'll say, you know, I've taken medicine for this or done this. She will, but at the same time, you're speaking the word of God. You're speaking the word of God. That doesn't mean I'm just going to speak the word and reject a doctor's order to maybe take some medicine. See, now that's foolishness there too. Unless God tells you to do that. See, I certainly, you know, I'm not going to tell you or recommend you do that. That's something between you and God. But the main thing is speak the word. Confess the word. Keep speaking it. What is it? What is Romans 1:16? It said that I don't know why I'm trying to remember that scripture. Yeah, for it is the power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it, the gospel, is what? The power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. So the word of God is the power of God. And when we believe it and let it water and get down in here and we speak it, it releases God's power. And it will change this body. Let's quickly turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at, we were back over here before. Look at verse 10, Romans 8:10, and it said, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is what? Life because of righteousness." Now look at verse 11. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall do what? Shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." So that means his Spirit dwells in me. His life dwells in me. His blood is in me. And so because of that, he's quickening and giving life to this mortal body. Life is going to change some dead parts. Life is going to change parts that don't work as well as they should. See, sometimes this is why it's important that we don't think. That's why when the scripture says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that what? You can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, I'm not going to ask for show of hands, but I've even heard this, you know, years ago when I would share some of these things, I'd have family members say, "Well, how are you going to die then?" If you're not going to get sick, and you're not, how are you going to die? See, so their thinking is you have to get sick to die. See, that's the world's way of thinking. It's corrupted. It's backwards. It's darkened. See? But this says here, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if he dwells in me, he quickens my mortal body. That don't sound like getting sick. That sounds like being made alive, quickened. Right? So it's just as easy. How many have read stories? We've read stories, stories after stories after stories of people that have said, "Well, there's Jesus, bye." We've read in the Old Testament where they just laid down and gave up the ghost. What does that mean? Their spirit left them. Didn't say they were sick or infirmed. They just fell asleep. I mean, my parents would do it for years. They went and visited people in nursing homes. They'd said, you know, people 105, 106 years old, they go just as bright with it. And they said they came back, they just fell asleep. They weren't sick. They said this person they used to visit, 105, 106, they weren't even taking medicine. But they just fell asleep. So this world's way of thinking has to be reprogrammed in us. We think, and people and doctors, and all this kind of stuff that says, well, in order for you to go, you're going to be sick. Says who? No. We don't have to be. Stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Free from what? Sickness and disease. And it says, be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Don't allow it. Keep our minds renewed. Keep us meditating on the Word of God. And do what? Follow the Holy Ghost. If He tells you to do something, do it. Right? So we're free. We're a free people. So let's walk in that freedom. Just some scriptures to remind of 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. So we're not moved by what we see and feel. We walk by faith. Faith in God's word. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever, or you could say whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. So what's going to overcome the world's way of thinking? Faith in God. Faith in His Word. Stand fast in that liberty. So you can't talk sickness and disease and walk in health. If you're thinking about sickness and disease, how do you walk in health? As a man thinketh, so is he. If you're just going to talk about, oh, woe is me, you know what happens when you get older? No, tell me, what happens when you get older? You know how you do. You know, I've heard one minister say, if you say so, it'll be for you. Not for me. Not for me. Right? Not for me. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him for what? He careth for you. So if I'm walking through something and I need wisdom, what does it say? Ask him for the wisdom of God so I can walk through this. But we've been set free. We've been, in God's eyes, legally, we've been healed. No different if he took the iniquity of us all than most of us. We don't question because it's been taught for decades, you might even call it centuries, it's been taught that Christ took our sin. And it's been taught. So people don't question that. They don't question it. But when it comes to disease and sickness, they'll say, well, I don't know. Maybe, you know, we'll have to see. Maybe God might, you know, you never know. He might, and then he might not. Well, then how do I know if I'm the one? How do you have faith in a God that maybe or maybe not? You can't have faith. We're talking about the God kind of faith. That means how do I have confidence that he's going to heal me? How do you have faith for that? You can't. Not if you're not sure. Not if you're not convinced that it's for all. He didn't go to the cross and he didn't go to hell for some. He said it was for all. So he took all of our sin for everybody and he took everyone's sickness and disease. Everyone's. No exclusions. You know, I remember as I close, this was a few years back. There was a man that came to service in Pennsylvania when we were there. And, you know, we gave an altar call, and this guy came, and he accepted the Lord, and another guy came up with him and just went up with him. And he said, afterwards, he said, I've done a lot of bad things. He said, I don't know if God will, you know, I've really done some bad things. You know, I read into it. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I think somebody told me afterwards that he was involved in the mafia And so he may have done some really bad things. But Paul did some really bad things. Paul did some bad things. David did some bad stuff, right? And God saw fit to give somebody like Paul, who had done a lot of bad stuff, write 2/3 of the New Testament. So, come on. I mean, yeah, that's grace, all right. So, for us, there's nothing, you know, don't ever have these thoughts that, you know, well, my past life and maybe God's, you know, putting this on me for stuff I did and all that. No. He paid for that already. It's paid for. Your sickness has been paid for. Your sin has been paid for. Your depression has been paid for. All we have to do is what? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set me free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't do it. Now, you know, we've all been there. Sometimes, you know, you know, somebody said one time, you know, they got up on the wrong side of the bed. Jesus spoke to him and said, no. So, you know, again, all of us walk through things in life. We just have to remember what God said in his word and take hold of that and accept it and walk in it. And just don't allow it. We have to get our minds changed. And that's a lifetime. You know, sometimes I think about this. You know, we all come from a variety of backgrounds, exposures, life experiences. And sometimes when pressure's on, it's things come out in thinking, you might say, where did that come from? Why did I say that? Why did I even think that? You know, you might have been saved for 20, 30 years, and then some pressure comes on your life, and this thinking comes up. That's why when it talks about the seed falling on the ground, we've got to continually water so it does what? It doesn't get choked by these thoughts that may come up. And you may not even think about it. You might think, hey, I'm doing good. And then there's some pressure. And then you may think something a certain way. And even though you may know you're free, you see, that's why it's important to keep meditating on the word. Keep meditating on the word, because it says what? When you know the truth will set you free. So that tells me this is a lifetime a thing that we have to keep filling our hearts with the word, keep meditating on it, so that we have a personal knowledge of it, and we walk free. We walk free of thoughts that we've had. We walk free of any thought that tries to kind of drop in that, well, maybe this is happening because. You need to chuck that. You need to throw that out. Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean God may not allow us to walk through some things in life, but he don't use sickness and disease and depression to prepare us for things. Amen. Not at all. Right. Well, praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we are the body of Christ. And we have been set free. We're free from sin. We're free from sickness and disease. And you told us not to let it lord itself. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so, Father, we purpose in our heart not to be entangled with sinful things. In our hearts and our minds and our bodies. We purpose not to be entangled with the yoke of bondage concerning sickness and disease and care. So, Father, we thank you that we're set free in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that we can bring this hope and this truth to a world that doesn't know it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.